Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
Have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse 17. And then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. So while you're finding those, Romans 8 and 17, 2 Corinthians 1 and 21, we want to invite those who will be listening and tuning in by Facebook, and those who will be listening on HLE Radio today, to join with us as we share the Word of God and pray that the Word of God will touch your heart in a special way today. From the book of Romans, we're going to share one verse of Scripture there, Romans 8 and 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Wow. If we're children of God, we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, the scripture says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Now notice in both of these scriptures we have the statement with God and in God, with Christ and in Christ. So we're going to attempt this morning to share with you your condition and your position. Now, I had to kind of separate the message, put it in two parts, because if I preached the whole thing together, you'd think I was Ezra. You remember Ezra? He preached for 6 hours. I don't want your mind going in that direction this morning. So this morning we're going to deal with the situation that God has given us concerning with Christ, and then hopefully, if the Lord's willing, next week we'll share that portion of being in Christ. You see, there is a genuine purpose for a Christian to know their spiritual condition and a genuine purpose for the Christian to know their spiritual position. With Christ and in Christ. There are really only three basic ways, I believe, to identify one's self as a Christian. We always want people to know that we're Christians. We have to identify with Christ in order to be a Christian. Because without him, there's no Christianity. And that's what's wrong with the world's religions today. They've left Christ out of Christianity. And the only way you can do what you're supposed to do to identify yourself as a Christian, first is to be born again. If you're not born again, you may sit in a church somewhere and sit and warm up a pew every Sunday. But the Bible says you must be born again. So that's the first step in identifying yourself with Christ as being a Christian. And then the second one is to walk the sanctified walk that he gives us. You know what sanctification is? That's being separated from the world and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to let the world know that we are saved and sanctified. In other words, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. And the people in the world out there need to know that you're a born-again believer. Because Paul said, don't you be ashamed of the gospel. Huh? Because he said, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me in front of people, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father. And then the third thing is to understand your justification. When you got saved, three things happened to you. First, salvation, and then justification, and then sanctification. Salvation was you're saved, forgiven of your sins. Justification means that you're supposed to forget all of your past because now it's just as if you'd never sinned. You stand before God, amen, as a born-again believer, and your sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. And a lot of problems that Christians have is they fail to forget. And they can't forgive themselves when God has already forgiven them. Don't carry that baggage from yesterday into today with your relationship with the Lord. You started a new life and a new way when you got saved. And you were justified, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you and made you a new man, a new woman, a new person. Therefore, you are justified now. You could not stand before God. You could not stand before our Lord until you were first saved and second justified and thirdly sanctified, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot be in the right position with Christ if you're not in the right condition in Christ. You can't be in the right position with Christ if you're not in the right condition in Christ. Now, wait, I got another one. You cannot be in the right condition in Christ if you're not in the right position with Christ. Now you're confused. No, you'll understand it better by and by. So we have to be in the right position and in the right condition. You can't have one without the other. It's like a person sitting in church, but not really there. Sitting in church, you may be in the right position, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're in the right condition. Sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian. No more than sleeping in a garage makes you a car. No. They go together, your condition and your position. Even though we're going to preach them separately, you know the reason why. First of all, let's look at being with Christ. In Romans 8:17, as we read this morning, the Bible says we become joint heirs with Christ. He is our elder brother, our Savior, and He's everything we need when we're with Him. We are joint heirs with Him. Whatever belongs to Him belongs to us. I got all of this glory then. No. Mm-mm. No, you're starting ahead when you should be starting at the starting line. No, you get all of these things, yes, but there's the if. Brother, we talked about it this morning. All of God's promises from beginning to end always begin with if. Oh, my Lord. We love Deuteronomy 28 because that's where all of the blessings come from. Go home and read it. You're blessed with everything that God can bless you with. He said, you're blessed going in, you're blessed going out. your field is blessed. Whatever you have, the herds, the sheep, everything is blessed. All your possessions are blessed. And people preach that and everybody shouts except here. Because I've already told you that you can't preach the 28th chapter without preaching the 29th chapter. Because in the 29th chapter, there's a word if. If you do what I said to do, then you're blessed. And if you do not do what I say to do, then you are a curse. Oh, I don't want to hear that word. But God said it. So we are joint heirs with Christ if we're walking with Him, if we're in the right position with Him. So this speaks of really the present position that we're in with Christ. Born again, joint heirs, walking with Jesus Christ. What a joy and what a fellowship it is. So joint heirs with Christ speaks to the fact that we are now, in the present time, constantly bearing testimony of our position with Christ. The Bible says we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and in that we have to be in the right position with Christ in order for the world to see what we are. Because your testimony is so important that the Bible says when they see us, they should see Christ in us. When we testify of Christ, we don't brag about what we are. We are testifying of that which is in us, that we walk with Christ, and they see us with Christ. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, so that means He's with us. At all times, constantly bearing the testimony, constantly witnessing of Him that walks with us. And I've heard people talk about being alone, but if you're a Christian and a born-again believer, you're never alone because He is with you. And you are with Him. And also being joint heirs with Christ speaks to our adoption into the family of God. But you have to know this. This adoption is not a secondary position. We are adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus Christ, through the work that He completed on an old rugged cross. We are in the family through the sacrifice He made on that cross. Now we, with Christ, can walk into the throne room of God. Wow. You know, Christians sometimes just don't realize the condition and the position they have, with Christ. They slumber along and rumble along and, come on. Yeah. And if they just open their eyes and see their position with Christ, they'd see themselves as a individual, born-again believer, that has access to the throne of God. Amen. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. The access we have to God the Father. No other dispensation before this dispensation of grace had that access to the Father. Oh, the congregations had to go through a priest, or they had to listen to a prophet to know what God says. You and I go straight into the throne room of grace and hear the word of God. What a blessing, huh? You see, now there's another aspect to being joint heirs with Christ. The Bible says we also suffer with Him. Now we got to clear something up here this morning. You see, this suffering with Christ does not merely mean or pertain to suffering in the physical body. Man, I've heard people talk about, you know, because they're sick or because they're poor or whatever the thing may be in their life, they're suffering for Jesus. You can't suffer for Jesus. He's the one that suffered for you and for me. So it means that the Holy Spirit binds our heart, binds the heart of the believer to be in sympathy. Listen now, to be in sympathy with the suffering of Christ and with the suffering of the creation. If you're going to suffer with Christ, if you're going to carry that cross, you have to be in sympathy with his suffering. That's how we suffer. We suffer spiritually. Our body and soul and spirit suffer with Christ. Oh, listen, we have to get to the point where my heart breaks when I suffer with Jesus Christ, when they hung him on that post and beat him with a cat of nine tails until his back was no longer there, just blood and bone. Your heart has to break when you think about him carrying that cross up Golgotha. Down that road of the Via Dolorosa, carried his cross, and we have to have sympathy with that. We have to suffer with that. Now, that doesn't mean you suffer physically. Your spirit, your heart, your soul suffers with Christ. And we suffer with him when they nailed him on that old rugged cross. And we suffer with him when they dropped that cross into a hole and it just shook and tore the ligaments in his hands and his feet. We suffer with him when they put that crown of thorns upon his head. We suffer with him through that process. And we suffer with him until he got into that grave, a borrowed tomb where they laid him. But at that moment, at that instant, his suffering was released. And he rose into a glorious, glorious place with a glorified body, went into the pits of hell and set the captive free, and is today seated at the right hand of the Father. So we suffered with him through all of it. Now we are risen with him to a new place in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Glory. You're with Christ today. Amen. You've got something to shout about. I bet there's some places that you've been in where you shouted for the devil and you weren't ashamed of it. Oh, come on. We've all been there. We've all been sinners at one time. You weren't born saved. I've already told you about the young preacher that I was talking to one day and talking about being saved and talking about the sins of our past life that we had been forgiven of. And he said to me, he said, "You know, brother," he said, "I know I was a sinner, but I never enjoyed sin." I said, "You lying, brother. You enjoyed sin." Yeah, we enjoyed sin. That's why we did it. Yeah, we wanted to sin. We did it gladly and loudly, and we boasted about what we did in sin. Yeah. Don't tell me you didn't enjoy sin. You're lying to God now. But he said, those sins have been put aside. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. You need to forget them because God has forgotten them. And in that, we are redeemed, and we need to say so. The redeemed of the Lord needs to say so. So we are in sympathy with the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering because Jesus felt that sympathy for the world. That's how we became joint heirs with him. We need to feel that kind of sympathy with God. Though anyone who truly knows God and walks close to him cannot help but see the terrible condition the world is in and to understand the only answer to the world's problems is Jesus Christ. You see, his grace and his mercy and his coming to an old rugged cross was for every individual in the world who will come to the cross. Whosoever will, let him come. There's an open door to glory for you and I, for anyone else who will receive him as their Lord and Savior. Satan with his evil spirits have brought evil to every corner of this world. Sickness and pain and war and starvation and suffering, heartache, and many, many more things in individuals' lives. So don't think you can suffer for Christ physically, because all you're doing when you think that is trying to make God feel sorry for you. God loves you, but he doesn't feel sorry for you. No. If God felt sorry for all of us old pilgrims in this world, we wouldn't have any problems. But his love reaches out to us. And in the condition we're in, even as Christians, when we make our mistakes and we falter and fall sometimes, even that time, he reaches further down to lift us up. And another opportunity to give the glory to God. So we don't suffer for the Lord. We suffer with him in our spirit, in our heart, and our sympathy that we have with him. So you can explain to people that are going to tell you they're suffering for Jesus that they're not really suffering for Jesus. They're suffering because they like to have a pity party. Now, I understand that people get sick. I have been there. But I wasn't suffering for Jesus. The Lord was just giving me another opportunity to give him glory. Because he's the healer and the deliverer. And I'm here because of that. And Loretta's here because of that. And most of you are here because of that. His love. His love doesn't save you. If his love saved you, the whole world would be saved, because he gave his only begotten son that whosoever will, he so loved this world. The world would be saved because God loves. No, he made a way of salvation. And the only way for that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. So don't be a dingbat when it comes to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all know what a dingbat is. Yeah. I'm not going to go there, but you know what that is. You see, all of this sickness and all of this worldly stuff that's going on in the world will not end until Jesus comes. Don't look for this world to get better. It's on a downhill slide, and it's not going to change, because in the plan of God, this world has to get so bad that he said it's time for my church to be brought out of that mess. And I believe it's coming soon, because all we see is the degradation in this world. And on the TV, you don't see the glory of God. You don't see that which God has given to us. But one day he's going to take his church out of this old world of pain and suffering and hate and everything that goes with it. I believe it's going to happen sooner than later. We used to say sooner or later, but it's sooner than later. Because you know that when you look at the condition of the world, and it's not going to end till Jesus comes. You see, the unbeliever today gropes around in this darkness. And there's a darkness that surrounds the world. It's an evil darkness. It's satanic. Evil spirits everywhere you go and everywhere you look. And they grope around in darkness with no understanding of the future. No understanding of why they had things in their past. And really, they don't even understand the present. Paul said this. He said, they are not led by the Spirit and therefore have little understanding of anything. Ah. Oh, we've got a world full of knowledge. And I've done adopted a new world now. A world full of knowledge with dingbats running this world. I want you to take a moment and think about this. I want you to look at the position of the people in power in America today. And understand that they have one finger to press the button with. Huh? And send this thing up. And for the Christians, it'd be a glorious ride. But for the world, it's going to be rough. And when you have dingbats in charge, oh, praise the Lord.
Amazing what you say under the anointing.
Oh, dingbats. Don't be a dingbat in the army of God. I know, don't look at me like that. You've seen Archie Bunker. You know where dingbat comes from. And she was innocent, but the dingbats up there are not innocent. They're set on destroying the world. Those without God have a sordid past. They have a hurting present, and they don't know anything about their future. Because if they had any sense of understanding what God's word says, they would be on their knees. They would be praying. They would be being asking for forgiveness and getting born again and prepared to go when Jesus comes. But the world is not prepared for what's going to happen very soon. Years ago, one of the major newspapers in one of the major cities, New York or somebody, they had the headings already printed out in their newspaper for the day after Jesus comes and the rapture takes place, with excuses as to what they believe happened. And as we see the progression to that, we begin to understand more and more about those aliens that are in the sky. Because that's going to be their excuse. Oh, the aliens came down and got them. Yeah. But you see, that's some really, really smart aliens. Because they only took the good people. They left all them sinners in the world and took all the Christians, huh? Yeah, smart, real smart. Dingbat, that's what they are. Paul said they don't know anything because they have no understanding. And the scripture says Satan has blinded their eyes. And the reason we can see what God's word said is because the blinders have been taken off of our eyes. And we can see now more clearly what God has for us. Amen. With an understanding of what's going to happen in the very near future.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me.
Here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend.